Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The Earth is getting too hot. What do we do about it? Let's talk about this. Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm Campbell, and we have a very interesting topic to discuss today. But before we get into the article, let me introduce my friend in the studio with me. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Campbell. It's great to be here. And today we're talking about the environment, aren't we?
We are. Now, we have an interesting title here. It's called Engineering the Environment. Now, that's really interesting because usually when we think about the environment, we're thinking about nature,
yes,
right? We're thinking about creation. We're thinking about things that really are not human-made,
mm-hmm,
right? But now we're talking about engineering, and that is very much about human interference and human-made things. And so it's kind of like an interesting juxtaposition of the two.
Yes. Well, we have been interfering with the environment as long as we've been on Earth.
Yes.
I think humans have been, but especially after the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
We have interfered with it more.
Right.
That we'll talk a lot more about that, how
right,
we're interfering, but we are actively interfering with our environment.
Right. Now, you talked about the Industrial Revolution. Can you explain a little bit more about what that is?
Yes. In the Industrial Revolution, this would be probably the early 1800s, right? Or maybe the mid 1800s, around 1840s, 1850s, we started having a lot of factory production.
Right.
So like there's factory production for all sorts of things. Like the cars were made a little bit later, I think,
in
the 1900s. But there started to be a lot of factory production. And from the factories, we started to emit a lot of pollution,
yes,
into the air.
Right.
Yeah. So but at the same time, that being said, we became much more efficient in,
yes,
producing things because,
right,
of the factories.
Yes.
So there were definitely a lot of benefits to humankind because of the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
But the side effect is we started to interfere with the environment to a greater degree than we ever did before.
Right. Yeah. So today it says that we're talking about climate change, right? The deck here says a powerful approach to climate change raises powerful questions, right? So let's talk a little bit about climate change. What exactly is happening here?
Well, basically, the Earth is heating up.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth is getting hotter and hotter, and it's because of our lifestyle.
Right.
We talked about the factories emitting a lot of gases and a lot of things into the air. But our lifestyle, for example, where we live here, it's so hot,
mm-hmm,
in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, summer without AC, air conditioning, would,
right,
be, it's terrible. It feels,
yeah,
like hell. Like,
right,
no, like we have AC, and then in our cars also emit a lot of pollution,
mm-hmm,
our factories. So basically the Earth is warming up. And Campbell, off air, you gave me a really fantastic analogy of the Earth warming up.
Right. Yeah. So basically the reason the Earth is warming up is, if you think about it, there, you know, we have this ozone layer, right? We have this atmosphere that surrounds the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that atmosphere helps to filter things and allows certain sunlight to come in and kind of helps to regulate the Earth. But the problem is with all this pollution and the carbon dioxide that we're releasing, you know, this layer around this Earth is getting thicker and thicker. So heat is getting trapped. It's almost like, you know, originally we had kind of a light blanket around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And now the blanket is getting thicker and thicker. And, you know, basically the heat is getting trapped inside the Earth. And so the climate is getting warmer and warmer. And that creates a lot of problems.
Yes.
Right? All right. So before we continue our discussion, let's read the first half of our article and then we will come back and discuss further.
Engineering the Environment. A powerful approach to climate change raises powerful questions. Could clouds be brightened so they reflect more sunlight back into outer space? If lab-grown seaweed is sunk into the ocean, how much carbon dioxide could it absorb? Would drilling holes into glaciers extract enough heat to slow sea level rise? While society is struggling to kick its addiction to fossil fuels, compensating by meddling with Earth's atmosphere, oceans, and landmasses has long been viewed as taboo. Many scientists have argued that geoengineering interventions are a distraction from emissions reductions at best and too dangerous to study at worst. The most controversial, and likely also the fastest acting method, is shooting aerosols into the sky to deflect the sun's rays, known as solar radiation management or solar geoengineering. The process is anticipated to have a similar effect to massive volcanic eruptions, such as the 1815 eruption of Mount Tambora in modern-day Indonesia, which disrupted weather patterns globally for 3 years. Summer temperatures in Europe were the coldest on record, and fog dimmed sunlight in the United States. But instead of volcanic ash, man-made aerosols would envelop the world and deflect the sun's rays. Temperatures worldwide would presumably start dropping within a year.
All right, so scientists are looking at different ways to intentionally cool the Earth. So as we mentioned earlier, the Earth is getting hotter and hotter because of what we call the greenhouse effect, right? So as we talked earlier about the carbon dioxide that we're releasing from, you know, all the emissions from the cars and the factories and all that, all these things, that's creating carbon dioxide to be trapped in the atmosphere, causing us the heat from the sun to get trapped in our atmosphere, and then we're getting hotter and hotter. So the scientists are trying to find different ways to cool the Earth. Now, what are some of the ways that are mentioned here, Rebecca?
Well, we have some really extreme ways. First, could clouds be brightened so they reflect more sunlight? So we're tampering with our clouds, mm-hmm. like we're trying to change our clouds. And everything here we're mentioning is what we call geoengineering,
right.
which we'll get into in a little bit. But
yes.
another example is you grow seaweed in the lab. So mm-hmm. you grow a lot and a lot of seaweed,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it back in the ocean because we know that seaweed can absorb these greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
It can absorb carbon dioxide.
Right.
Because seaweed, just like a tree,
yeah.
like because of the photosynthesis, like it will soak up carbon
right.
dioxide.
And I guess the benefit of that is it's in the ocean, so it's not taking up
space.
Land.
Yeah. Exactly. Because mm-hmm. like ocean, most of the ocean, we're not really using it, right? Like it's still there.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's another way. And then so the whole idea is how can we soak up more carbon dioxide?
Right.
Basically, how do we create more carbon sinks? Like that's a fancy term. It just means something that can soak up the carbon dioxide.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last one here is drilling holes into glaciers to be able to extract enough heat to slow sea level rise. Now, again, this is not directly cooling the Earth, but I think it is about, you know, preventing the glaciers from melting too fast, right?
Yes.
Because if, you know, it's just basically if the glaciers melt, glaciers are huge blocks of ice. If they melt, they become liquid water, and then the oceans rise and cause a whole bunch of problems, right? So these are all what we call geoengineering, and again, we'll talk about that in a second. But this next sentence, while society is struggling to kick its addiction to fossil fuels, compensating by meddling with Earth's atmosphere, oceans, and landmasses has long been viewed as taboo. All right, so let's talk about this sentence. Now, society is struggling to kick its addiction to fossil fuels. Now, that's an interesting mm-hmm. phrase there, kick an addiction. What are we talking about?
Well, if you're addicted to something, it means you can't live without it.
Right.
So, for example, if you're alcohol addict or alcoholic,
right.
you can't live without alcohol.
Yeah.
And then here, we are addicted to fossil fuels. And fossil fuels is basically gas.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically oil. But
right.
usually when we say oil, what we're really saying is petroleum, like the petroleum that we use to fuel our factories and to fuel our cars, right? And for cars, we say it's gasoline, but it's all basically from petroleum, oil, and then natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
So this is found layers beneath the earth where, you know, oil companies or natural gas companies, they have to extract it out of the earth.
Yeah.
But why are they fossil fuels? It's because they're basically, the oil comes, like, it doesn't come from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes from fossils that were, fossils are basically, can you say the dead bodies?
Right, bones.
The dead bones, the dead bodies of animals or, you know, other things, animals and plants. It's buried deep into the ground.
Right.
And over thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, it becomes fuel.
Yeah. And we're all addicted to it because it basically runs our life. You know, pretty much our whole lives are very much, you know, connected to these fossil fuels. If you, unless you're going to be an Amish person and drive a horse and buggy, you know, you're pretty much addicted. You need the fossil fuel.
We're addicted.
Right? Yeah. But that's what's causing all this pollution, causing all this carbon dioxide emissions in the air. And while we're trying to figure out how to not be so addicted, scientists are thinking about, well, how can we maybe compensate? I mean, how can we make up for what we are creating? Right. And one way is by meddling, which means just getting involved or deliberately trying to influence or change a situation. And we're kind of playing around with the Earth's atmosphere, which can be dangerous, which is why it has been viewed as taboo. What does that phrase taboo or that word taboo mean?
Taboo means something that is basically frowned upon by society.
Mm.
Like in general, you take 10 people, probably 9 would say it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's taboo.
Yeah.
You know. So for example, like something that's a cultural taboo. For example, in our culture today, you will not take a 10-year-old and marry them off to a 50-year-old.
Yeah.
That would be culturally taboo. Like all of us, like 9 out of 10, maybe 10 out of 10 people would say it's completely wrong.
Yeah.
So that's viewed as taboo. And why is this thing viewed as taboo? It's because it's so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The environment is not simple.
No. And it's not as, you don't know how doing one thing might cause, you know, you might solve one problem but cause 10 problems. Right?
Exactly.
So that's kind of the big issue that we're talking about today. Okay. So now we finally reached this big word that we've talking about, geoengineering, right? And it can be broken up into two parts. Geo, the prefix is just anything to do with the earth, right? And environment and nature. And then engineering basically is just the creation of things, right? So geoengineering here is basically, if we look at our specialized terms, a broad range of activities that intentionally attempt to cool the earth or remove certain gases from the atmosphere. Okay. Now, the sentence where this geoengineering occurs is a very interesting sentence with an interesting structure. It says, many scientists have argued that geoengineering interventions are a distraction from emissions reductions at best and too dangerous to study at worst. Okay, so we have something is something at best and then something else at worst.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a really interesting structure there. And I think this is something worth learning about. Basically, you're comparing two things, right? Or you're comparing, you're giving this description of this one thing and you're saying that, you know, at best, it's kind of this, meaning it's the lesser of two evils is this. But if it goes to the extreme, it's actually pretty dangerous, pretty bad, right? So at best, it's causing people to just forget about these emissions reductions, trying to reduce the carbon dioxide, basically allowing people to just do whatever they want and to continue to pollute the earth. That's at best. It's going to cause people to just stop trying to be better, right? But at worst, it can actually be dangerous.
Yes, and we will explain why it's dangerous as we go further into the article. But it's dangerous because, you know, like it's like running an experiment when you're in school.
Right.
Like sometimes you change one thing and then it changes completely the outcome because this one change affects all the other factors.
Mm-hmm.
And changing, like trying to make the earth cooler using, we'll talk about exactly the solar geoengineering, I think.
Right.
And when you do that, there are consequences.
Yes.
Everything has consequences. And mm-hmm. I think some of the scientists who are against geoengineering is they're worried that we don't understand the consequences because you won't get the consequences until you actually do it.
Right. Yeah. And in a way, you know, these solutions that they're coming up with, they're kind of a Band-Aid, right?
Yes.
They're a Band-Aid. They're not really dealing with the issue, right? It basically, the earth has a fever. The earth has a fever.
Mm.
And rather than dealing with maybe the infection or whatever is causing the fever, you're just kind of turning on the AC or you're giving them a cooling blanket or trying to do something to cool the body without actually dealing with the fact that the earth has a fever.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so that's what some scientists are saying, like it's not really actually dealing with the problem.
Yes, the problem is not going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just pushing the problem further down the road.
Right, exactly. All right, now you mentioned this solar geoengineering, okay? So this next sentence says the most controversial, which means it's the one that most people are they're arguing about, right? They're not really in agreement about. It's very controversial. And likely also the fastest acting method, which means most effective, most quickest solution, is shooting aerosols into the sky. Okay, what are we talking about when we're talking about aerosols?
So aerosols are basically a mix of very, very, very small particles. And these particles are usually in a liquid or gas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of thinking like our hairspray.
Right.
Like some of our listeners, perhaps you use hairspray in the morning before you go out.
Right.
And then hairspray is basically, it's a gas, right? The
right.
gas will come out, but it's not just the gas. In the gas is all these tiny chemical particles
right.
that when I spray at my hair, I can make my hair that shape all
right.
day.
Yeah. So that, speaking of that, you know, when I first read this article, I was like, wait, I thought, you know, as kids, they told us not to use hairspray because
yes.
it would pollute the environment. Now we're talking about actually spraying things into the environment.
Yes. But we're shooting chemical
right.
sprays into the environment. And this is probably a lot of chemicals
right.
because we want to do what the rest of the sentence will say.
Right. Yeah. So basically, you know, what we're shooting into the atmosphere is different than what's in our hairspray, right? The hairspray, the chemicals in the hairspray kind of causes problems. But the aerosols they're talking about here are particles that are meant to deflect the sun's rays, which means to kind of prevent some of the sun's rays from entering the earth. It kind of pushes it back into space. And it's known as solar radiation management or solar geoengineering. Okay. And the process is anticipated to have a similar effect to what?
To volcanoes. And I think that's where the scientists, they actually first thought of this solar geoengineering process is because they observed volcanoes. And here they give an example of an 1815 eruption of an Indonesian volcano, Mount Tambora.
Yeah.
And then, but what's actually important is, you know, like when a volcano erupts, it shoots up a huge plume of smoke and gases into the atmosphere.
Right.
And it's that huge plume of smoke and gases, the gases that go high into atmosphere, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And that disrupted weather patterns globally for 3 years.
Right. So not just in Indonesia, not just in Asia, globally.
Yeah, the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's huge impact. I would say this is basically really drastic.
Right.
If we have to resort to acting like a volcano.
Right.
Like almost like making a man-made volcano.
Yeah.
In order to cool down the earth.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to be shooting this ash, simulated ash, into the environment, and it's going to cool the earth, right? Because the Mount Tambora, when that happened, it led to the coldest summer temperatures in Europe on record and fog that dimmed sunlight in the United States.
Wow.
All
That's
right?
so far away.
Yeah. So the question is, we could do this, but should we do this?
Yes.
Right? All right. So let's read the rest of our article and we can come back and talk about it.
could versus should. But scientists have historically kept geoengineering at arm's length out of concern that rich nations and fossil fuel companies would lean on promises of expensive, yet-to-be-developed technology to avoid changing their emissions-intensive practices. Carbon emissions are the root cause of climate change. However, society is unlikely to cut emissions fast enough to stave off the worst of climate change, experts say. The International Energy Agency anticipates that total mineral demand for clean energy technologies from solar panels to EV batteries will double or quadruple by 2040. Not only is mining emissions intensive, but it also takes time. University of Chicago physicist Peter Irvine said he's certain solar geoengineering would reduce extreme heat, heavy rainfall, and sea level rise. But he admits it may also intensify droughts, increase acid rain, and thin the ozone layer. These unknowns could affect food production and biodiversity worldwide.
All right, we're talking about a moral debate here, right? We could do this, but should we do this? It says here, scientists have historically kept geoengineering at arm's length. What does that mean to keep something at arm's length?
If you keep something at arm's length is you keep your distance from it. Mm. Like you don't want to get close to it. Mm. So in the past, geoengineering, it wasn't really taken seriously as like a real actionable thing to do. It was more like, oh, in theory, maybe we could do that.
Right.
But it's in theory. We're not really going to do that.
Yeah. Because the fear is that rich nations, you know, you can think about some of the global powers and fossil fuel companies would lean on promises of expensive yet to be developed technology to avoid changing their emissions intensive practices. All right. So let's just be honest, right? These companies and these nations, they're out there to make money, right? And trying to reduce emissions often costs a lot of money.
Yes.
So there's the potential that maybe we can do these geoengineering techniques to cool the earth. And because we can do that, then maybe we don't need to work so hard to reduce the emissions.
And I think the fears are real.
Yeah.
Because we already do that. Like,
right.
You know, like when we talk about the environment, the whole idea of buying carbon credits, I know that's not the subject of today's article, but the whole idea that because I can't reduce my emissions so that I pay some money to grow some trees in Brazil.
Yeah.
This whole mechanism is there's so much room for rich countries and rich companies to manipulate.
Right.
You know, like it looks like, oh, I'm going green.
Yeah.
But I'm actually not cutting down any emissions. I'm just growing 100 trees in Brazil.
I'm just doing something to offset what I'm doing.
And who knows whether those trees are really grown in Brazil.
Right.
Like maybe I'm only growing two trees. Like,
yeah.
You know, like in history, we know that if there's a way I can postpone paying upfront cost, I will.
Right.
So this concern, I think, is very valid.
Yeah. So it says here, a very key sentence, carbon emissions are the root cause of climate change. And that's kind of what we've been talking about this whole time. Okay. So it says, next part says, however, society is unlikely to cut emissions fast enough to stave off or to keep away the worst of climate change, experts say. So we can do what we want to try to reduce emissions. And I listened to an interview with a scientist and he said, you know, let's say we cut our carbon emissions to zero. Even then, it's still not going to, it's not enough.
It's not enough, yes.
Right. So, you know, the question here is we still need to do something. Right. And what will we do? Okay. What can we do? Now, there's a professor or physicist here named Peter Irvine, and he talks about the pros and cons of solar engineering, right? So what are some of the pros that he mentions here?
Well, the pros are the solar geoengineering could decrease extreme heat, heavy rainfall, and sea level rise. And these are all things that we see many nations facing right now.
Yeah, yeah. Sea level rise, again, we're talking about the icebergs or the glaciers melting. Mm-hmm. And sea level rise causes, you know, for example, you know, I think about the Maldives or the Maldives.
Yes.
You know, people are talking about how they're going to be gone.
Yeah, they will be gone by like 2300 or something.
Yeah.
Like, they will be gone. They will be under the sea.
Yeah. So that's a concern, okay? So reducing extreme heat, like you were talking about, Taiwan gets really hot in the summer. Heavy rainfall, sea level rise. These are good things, right? But again, as we've been talking about, you might solve one problem, but you might cause other problems. So what are some of the other problems that might be caused?
Well, it can intensify. To intensify just means to make it even worse. Intensify droughts. So droughts means like you have no rain in certain parts of the world. Increase acid rain, we get more rain because we are interfering with the atmosphere. So we actually get more rain, but it's not good rain. It's acid rain. And thin the ozone layer. So that ozone layer is what protects the Earth from a lot of the most harmful things,
radiation
from sunlight.
Yeah.
And we know that we already have some ozone holes around the world.
Yes.
But we will actually thin the ozone layer even more.
Right. So that's what I was thinking. We, you know, there is a blanket and we need that blanket. We just don't want that blanket to be too thick.
Yes.
Right? And so, yeah, we're reducing rainfall. But then that's going to cause droughts.
Yes.
Right? And then we're going to increase rain in certain areas, but it's going to be acid rain because you're shooting chemicals into the air, and that's going to come down with the rain, and that's going to cause acid rain. So, you know, there could be good and there could be bad, and that's kind of the controversy and the debate that is happening now, right? And these unknowns could affect food production and biodiversity worldwide because you don't know how it's going to affect the climate, and then, you know, a lot of the agriculture and the things that are grown is very much dependent on climate and rain and all those things.
Yes.
So we don't know what effects this can have. All right. Lots to discuss. We have more to discuss tomorrow. Please come back and join us for day two of this article, and we will continue to wrestle with this topic. Until then, this is Campbell.
This is Rebecca.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.